Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Father God, we thank you once again this morning. We just come before you. We want to look into your Word. We're asking for wisdom. We're asking for revelation. With the mind, Holy Spirit of God, that everyone that will ever listen to this broadcast, O God of glory, will be edified and be lifted, and they get into the dimension of seeing and understanding the things you've made available to them in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. Last week we started a series on the power of sight. I'm sure everyone, those of you, whether you're in service or not, you must have received that. Generously, we broadcast these things to everybody. Hallelujah. And our main text is Genesis 3. Reading from verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than in the beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is a midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth." God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and it shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And verse 7 says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves" what? Apron. Verse 6 is the main thing we're dealing with. And the Bible said, when the woman saw, and I tried to explain extensively last week, this was not the first time the woman noticed the tree. In fact, she said, of every other tree but this one, that means you know the tree had always been there. So what does it mean she saw? And I try to explain to you that the word saw there has to do with she just perceived, she recognized for the first time the efficacy and what that tree can do. So to see is to know. To see is to experience. Are you there with me? So for the first time she saw, both of them saw. And in partaking of what they saw, there was a transformation. What was the transformation? They got to discover that they were naked. They saw into a natural dimension, in quote. I'm going to make you see this. Yeah, though the Bible talks about they were naked, and I'll make you see something else. The nakedness here is not actually talking about people walking the street and they're naked. The other day, I got the video in the Cameroon, and a pastor and a wife were preaching the street and they were naked. And people said, what's going on? Said the scripture said, Adam and Eve, they were naked in the garden and they were not ashamed. Yeah, it's in Cameroon. You understand that? What is nakedness? Let me show you. I mean, praise God. It surprised you. That's how people read Bible. Go with me to Exodus 32, verse 23. You see, this scripture can kill you or make you alive. Depending on what you understand, depending on what is coming out of it. People can literally kill because of the Bible. Right? Exodus 32, verse 23. That's where Moses went up on the mount to meet with God, get the laws. And then he came back, and here is what happened. For they said unto me, Aaron is speaking now. Because by the time he came down from the mountain, he found that the people were worshiping a golden calf. Is that okay? Right. Aaron answered, for they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us, for this Moses, The man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we will not know what is become of him. We don't know anything about him. Just give us something that will lead us. They are so used to gods in Egypt that I think they can replicate that in the wilderness. Sometimes some of you get out of the world and you want to bring in the things you feel we're making to succeed in the world. You don't want to change your perspective to fear the principle of the kingdom. You still want to take those things that were there before that made you successful, whatever it is, you want to replicate it even having come to the church. Absolutely zero. There are principles of the kingdom that you must walk with. Is that okay? All right. So here we go. Verse 24. And I said unto them, whatsoever had any gold, let her bring it up. So they gave it me. Then I cast into the fire, and they came out this calf, golden calf. Amen. And this is why some of our denomination said, women should not wear earrings, because they brought these earrings from their ears. Aaron requested for that. Is that okay? But one thing people don't, fail to realize, what when they were living in Egypt, God said, go take from the Egyptians. And they took everything, gold, silver, whatever. It was for the purpose of the temple. That is why they discovered that everything in the temple, especially the most holy place, were made of gold. So now, they converted the precious thing of God into idols. And that's exactly what we do most times. Hallelujah. So Aaron said, now this is what happened and this is what I've done. Now verse 25 is what I'm looking for. And when Moses saw that the people were what? Naked. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among what? Their enemies. What do you mean they were naked? Were they without clothes? No. They were now vulnerable by implication of the protection of God was taken away from them. When Adam and Eve became naked, the glory of God left them. Not that they were naked in terms of walking in the street without clothes. The fig leaf they saw was religion. That's why you see the fig leaf that Jesus caused. Fig leaf is religion. Fig leaf is tradition. They were trying to cover themselves. The nakedness, the vulnerability to the animals, whatever, in the system now. So they wanted to clothe themselves with tradition, with religion. That's fig leaves. What did they sow? Fig leaves. What did Jesus cause? Fig leaf. Why did he cause a fig leaf? That Judaism. What was he trying to say? Henceforth, nobody will partake of Judaism, religion. That's what it caused. People don't know that. They think, oh, it has to do with faith. Yeah, it's faith. But you must understand what Jesus did. Everything Jesus did was to reveal something very specific in relation to redemption. So when he caused a fig tree, he was causing religion. Nobody will partake of you anymore. And the Bible said the fig leaf withered from the root. So Adam and Eve saw fig leaf. Why? Because they were naked. Come on, are you getting the point now? So here, children of Israel were naked, meaning protection was no longer there because now they got another God, not the God that brought them out of Egypt. Is it making sense to you? Now, how did they become naked? They saw. Adam and Eve saw, and in quote here also, the desire, the perception. They are saying, we don't have a leader anymore. We can understand where Moses is right now. That means, as long as we can see Moses, we don't even know if God is existing anymore. Come on, give us something that can lead us on. They were walking by sight. They were walking by their feelings. They got no faith at this point. Are you still here with me? And so that's precisely what happened. And now with that, they became naked, vulnerable to their enemies. You can see that among their enemies, what it means is the enemies can literally come and get hold of them, can defeat them because the protection of God was no longer in their midst. They were naked. And so, most of us are actually walking naked or in nakedness because of our perception, what we've seen, what we're thinking, what we believe in. We can't trust God to protect us anymore. Hallelujah. Why do you think people bring olive oil, handkerchiefs, and aprons, and prayer, sure, whatever. All of this is, they call them article of faith. So what happened? At the end of the day, if you don't have your olive oil, your faith is gone, because you feel the power of God is no longer there. Are you following what I'm saying? So sometimes, even in the things we do in the church, we make the people become vulnerable to their enemies, so that they don't have any power anymore. And the Bible makes you to understand, to those who believe, out of their belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. The cries of protection you need is right within you. Hallelujah. So some of those things are like golden calf, which men trust in. So they're walking the street, they have their olive oil with them. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah, they have their little handkerchief with them. And other people, they have the picture of their pastor, the prophet, whatever. You understand that? They become amulets. You know what that means? It's like when in the world, you have some little things you have to hold on to, put in your wallet. And you walk with that, your protection is there, your conviction is there. Yeah, you become a Christian. All right, you translate that. So they need to give you something that will exactly what you were doing before while you were in the war. No, that's not Christianity. Is that okay? Your faith is in something else. At that level, you are vulnerable. Praise God. So, the power of sight is so important. What I'm saying is, what you see produces an experience. As soon as they saw this tree, they became naked. They partake of it. Now the point is this. Oh, help me. What you see is what you believe. What you believe is what you eat. I'll make you see that. Jesus made the same thing. You eat my flesh, drink my blood. What do you mean by eating? Believe. So, they saw, they believe, they partook of it. And there was a transformation from glory to nakedness, to vulnerability within the system. So they're not looking for religion to cover themselves. And that's exactly what we do. When we miss out in the place of God, what's the next thing we do? We try to get religion, get fig leaves to help us, to cover ourselves. Praise God. No, but something we need to understand, that God spoke to Job and he said, hey, what is it like? Satan, no, I can touch him. What about the edge of fire that's around him? Remember that. Satan said, no, there's edge of fire that I cannot penetrate. Now, Job was not aware of that. Job never knew. And that's exactly how so many Christians walk. They have no understanding. There's an edge of protection that there are ministering spirits that God has sent to protect his own people. They have no ideas about that. That's how all your prayer sometimes is about how to protect yourself from the enemy, whatever the case may be. Devils are trying to attack you, this and that. You're just wasting your time, man. Keep your faith in God. Amen. His protection is ever sure. He is the one that protects, not you. You can defend yourself. If it's not there, forget about whatever thing you do. You should be messed up. Your faith should be in God. Don't try to build a golden calf. Hallelujah. You know, Job had a lot of issues when God was dealing with him. You remember that? He got a lot of issues. I mean, complain and whatever. He didn't know exactly what was going on around him. And God asked him a question. I mean, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Job 38. Remember that? You ought to have understood all of these things, that this thing is just a passing. I mean, it's just a phase that I've ordained for you to walk through. Praise God. You understand that? You know, I did something yesterday. People, the way they interpret scripture, they said, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, after the word came down, my beloved son, the Bible said the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many of you remember that? Come on, are you with me here? Right. Now, we got this ministry saying, no, that is not God. God does not tempt man, according to James chapter 1. Oh, this is crazy. You are not balancing scriptures. The temptation of Jesus was to prove his own loyalty and his obedience to God. The very same thing that happened in the garden. Genesis 3 verse 5. The very same thing. All the things that were used to try Adam was what was used to try Jesus. Now remember, by the time they partook of the tree, they lost their dominion. So what's the next thing? God was not bringing another Adam, second Adam, to have dominion. But Adam cannot, Jesus cannot just walk into dominion without first being tried as a son of loyalty and obedience. So Matthew chapter 4 was to prove his loyalty as a son to the Father. And as soon as he was able to overcome the devil, the Bible says angels ministered to him. What do you mean to say? Now we find someone who can rule the world. The state Adam fell from, somebody has stepped into it. We now find someone who can rule the world. That's why the Bible says angels minister to him. But in James chapter 1, what he's saying is, God does not enable you, energize you to sin. That's what he said. The same temptation you find in Matthew chapter 4 is the same principle that God gave unto Abraham in Genesis 22. When he said, take that son, that only son, and offer him to me. Just want to try his obedience. That is not temptation to sin. James chapter 4, talking of temptation to sin. Talking of temptation to sin. Is that okay? And he said, where does sin come from? But it comes from what? From your members. How many people don't understand this thing? You can pull these things together. Hallelujah. So Job would not understand that God was doing something and using him to demonstrate certain things to man, to creation. And so he started complaining. But let me show you something. Job 42 verse number 5. Job 42 verse number 5. Praise God. Amen. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. What do you think he's saying here? Oh yes, people have told me about who you are. I've got stories about you. Do you understand that? But now I know exactly who you are. My eye have seen thee. So to see means to know. To see means to understand. To see means to experience. Some of you are working like, you are working like Job. You live by all what people say, the kind of descriptions given to you by other people about who God is. That's how you live your life. Sometimes you even use the example of people who fail in their Christian faith as a standard or measurement. No. Somebody once asked me a question last week and said, Pastor David, what's the difference between, if you're saved, are you saved eternally? I said, what's the meaning of the word eternal? Eternal means what? Eternal. You can't do anything about it. So if you say somebody is eternally saved, he's eternally saved. Amen? And he said, but you mean you can't lose your salvation? I said, the person was not born again. Because if the one that is born of the Father, there is no way he can get out of the Father's house. Practically impossible. People should understand the difference between salvation and being born into the kingdom. The word salvation is sozo, means healing, all of those things we're talking about. But to be born into the kingdom, Jesus did not say, except you are saved, you cannot see the kingdom. He said, except you are born again. And what does it mean to be born again? You have the seed of the Father in your life. No matter where you go, you come back. That's why the prodigal son have to return, because he's a born of the Father. Does it make sense to you? Praise God. So you live your life based on what people say. You have no understanding of who you are in relation to the Father. And so your faith shakes, your faith is always in doubt whether you are saved or not. You're always in that framework. Why? Because you're hearing what people say. You have no faith in what the Word of God is saying. You don't have conviction in what the Word of God is saying. You don't even know yet. You know, most time when you discover Christ, you're actually discovering yourself. You're discovering yourself. You say, Pastor David, why did you have to say that? If you look at Matthew 16, you have to read that to remember the story when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Amen? What was the next thing that happened? Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. How many of you remember that? But you go to Colossians 3, verse number 3 and 4. What did the Bible say? It says, Christ is what? Our life. So actually, Peter discovered who he was. Right there. By revelation. Hallelujah. So here Peter said, Job is saying, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. I can understand now who you are. So it's like saying, I'm sorry for not believing you all this while. I'm sorry for living the way I've lived. Amen. Now I know who you are. Now I know you meant good, no evil. Oh yeah, now I know everything that happened. You have understanding about it. You orchestrated it. Remember, the Bible tells us the latter end of Job was better than the first time. How many of you remember that? Everything he lost, he got double. And that's why sometimes when people are going through certain things, mind what you say. Because the friends of Job, they went there and castigated him. And what's the next thing that happened? God said, you go to Job and let him pray for you. So he became a priest. Actually, Job was a priest because he was offering the sacrifices. Let Job pray for you. Hallelujah. Some of you can be going through some pressures because of the things you've used your mouth to say against people unknown to you. You may be thinking it's the devil. It's not the devil. You're carrying some effect of the way you have used your mouth against some people. Why? Scripture says life and death are the power of the tongue. How many of you understand that? The things you say can come back to you negatively. Mind what you say about people. Especially if they are going through certain things. Is that okay? You see people going through certain prayers, but don't you think it's sin? Don't think it's... You understand that? The way I'm suspecting this man. The way I'm suspecting this man. I'm sure they have no clean. Now your hand clean. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. But you know these things are there. I'm sure the hand not clean. No, it's your hand that is clean. Praise God for you. When it begins to happen tomorrow, you'll be able to know that your hands were not clean. If your hand were clean, your mouth was not clean. And now you are eating the fruit of your mouth. For life and death are the power of the tongue. You are free to eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Go with me now to John chapter 8, verse 51. Whew. This series is giving me something deep every day. Look at this. John 8, 51. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If man keep my saying. Now, how did Adam and Eve got into the realm of death, losing the glory of God? They couldn't keep what God said. I don't know if you're getting that. What God said was, thou shalt not eat of that tree. Simple. But they couldn't keep that. If they had kept that, they would say death. If they stay with that, they will come to the lamb of losing the glory of God, losing the dominion of God. They will not. And Jesus is saying, if you keep my words, if only you can keep what I'm saying, you will never see that. Somebody said, physical death, all of the above. Did Adam die? Adam died before he died. I don't know if you understand that. Right. When the children of Israel become naked before their enemy, literally, you can say they were dead. Because they were not vulnerable. So their first is spiritual death before you talk about physical death. And if you have Christ, even if you die physically, you are still alive. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying here. Praise God. So, that's why I say all of the above. Now the word see, or I saw, what I say? Shall not see that. The word see is tarier. Tarier actually means from loss or injury, properly by keeping the eye upon, which is properly to prevent escaping, which implies a fortress or full military lines of apparatus. Listen, you shall not see death if you keep my words. If you can protect what I'm saying, if you can preserve what I'm saying, if you can garrison what I'm saying, that it doesn't get out of your mind, you won't say that. Are you here with me? You know what? You know how military can take care of their own barracks or whatever? Level of discipline that goes in to protect. Amen? Praise the Lord. A means of fulfill command by implication to detain. I like that. To detain in custody. If any man see, if any man can detain my words in custody, he shall not see that. So you take the word and put them in prison and lock it up. You see why God spoke to Moses? You tell the children. This is how to keep the words. When they wake up in the morning, they're talking about me. Say that you meditate upon the word. In the morning, when you walk the street, when you eat, and when you understand that, wherever you find yourself, you keep in the word. Your mind, that's why, you know, David will speak from the book of Psalm. Blessed is he that meditates upon the word of God day and night, for it be like a tree that planted by rivers of living water, whose leaves wither not. Come on, are you following what I'm talking about? He's not mindful of the time of the dry weather, dry season. No, no, no. He can think about drought. Why? You keep the word. You protect the word. You take the word and put it in custody. You know what it means when police arrest somebody and put them in custody? They can't come out anymore. So God said, lock up my words in your heart. Seal my word in your spirit. Let it be what you think about in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, anytime. Let the world saturate your life. Praise God. Are you following me? When you do that, you shall not see death. You won't fall out like Adam did. The glory will always be there. The protection will always be there. The dominion will always be there. Hallelujah. You lose protection, lose dominion, lose the life of God that you're supposed to have, you are dead. You are a walking tomb, a walking corpse. Walking the street, but dead person walking the street. That's what it means. Hallelujah. If you keep my words, you shall not see death. Remember, we're talking of the power of sight. Amen? That means, for you to die, you have to see death. Is that okay? If you keep my word, you shall not see death. You have to die. I mean, you have to see death to be able to do what? To die. By implication, you have to experience the power, the qualities of that which is called death for you to be able to experience it. And you translate that to anything. That will tell us this. Poverty is from the mind. It's what you see. It's what you believe. Hallelujah. I know that's hard. But you see, when you keep speaking to yourself every now and then, well, I know I cannot be rich like the other man. Well, I know all fingers are not equal. You think you are consoling yourself? I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. No, for you, you are consoling yourself. No, 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 no. You are just suppressing your own self. You never grow above that because it has become your status quo. You've taken it and say, I know I can never be anybody. Is that okay? But when you start saying, I will make it, I will be great. I know I have potentials to make money. I know I have wisdom. You see, God will begin to deliver to you the things you need to truly make the money that you're supposed to make. Praise the living God. I was discussing with somebody a few days ago and was saying, Pastor, but you see, the problem I have because my parents, they didn't train me. I said, no, that's a lame man excuse. You're trying to find fault for your failures. Hallelujah. People like us, my parents had no money, but I went to school. It's not because your parents don't have money, that's why they go to school. But think about that. It's not everybody that goes to school that has money. I don't know if you're following this. Riches and success is not directly connected to only those who went to school. For instance, we have a brother, blessed memory, Captain Bob. What was his qualification? At best, maybe secondary school. But he learned a practical job. He was sailing. He had money. Are you following what I'm talking about? So don't tell me because you didn't go to school, that's why you don't have money. No. You're just lazying out. There are a lot of people that have gone to school, they don't have any good thing doing. Hallelujah. But when you come to that understanding that I am going to be who God ordained me to be, that's what you're going to become. Hallelujah. I told you of our brother, all these doors, single-handedly brought all of those doors. Did they go to school, university? No. At best, secondary or whatever. Hallelujah. But he entered where God has ordained his life to be, and the money came. You will make money. Your mind should not continue to tell you that you are going to remain a poor man the days of your life. Amen? Praise the living God. Is anybody getting this? It's what you see. What I'm trying to describe to you now is what you are seeing. When you see poverty, you're going to be poor. Nobody can help you out of it. Nobody. If you feel this is the way I'm going to be, that is the way you are going to be. You can't get out of that. It's what you see, that's what you become. They saw the tree, they got naked. Because what they are saying is what they are believing. And belief has power. For to them that believe, God gave power to become what? The sons of God. You have to understand that. What you believe attracts power. So if you're thinking success, you're going to have power to become successful. If you're thinking greatness, power to become great will be coming towards you. Anything you see and you're thinking about, there's power that follows it. Amen. Praise the living God. John 6:39. Is anybody understanding this? John 6:39. The power of sight. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you meditate upon. Be careful. Look at this. 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which you have given me, I should lose nothing. Glory. So what did I say in the beginning? You don't tell me you are saved and then you are lost at the same time. No. Jesus said that is not possible. Of all that the Father has given to me, I will lose nothing. Did you get that? Nothing will make you to lose your salvation except you were not saved before. Like the Demas and all those people that finally left the faith. You don't use that as an example. This is Jesus' own statement. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. I mean, if something is the will of God, what else can happen to that? This is the Father's will that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. But you raised up where? Again, on the last day. I will lose nothing. I will lose nobody. The devil is not powerful enough to break through the palms of Jesus or call the will of God and take you away from faith. No! Jeremiah 3, God was speaking to children of Israel and of Judah. He said, your backsliding heart shall correct thee. Your wicked heart shall reprove thee. And when that happens, what the next thing? You come back. I remember in those days, a man came to me and said, my daughter, this is what she's doing. Then I said, so what do you want? And he said, I don't really know, but I just feel, if I'm confused, I just I said, no. As soon as I was saying that, the Lord ministered to me, Jeremiah 3. And I said, this is what the Lord is telling me. Your daughter's backsliding heart shall correct her. Her wicked heart for not obeying you shall reprove her. When you are reproved, you are corrected. And what's the next thing? The girl came back home. She came back home. Hallelujah. Of those that God has given to me, I will lose nothing. Man, you are secured in the hands of God. Amen. You are secured. Praise God. Look at verse 14. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him, they have everlasting Zoe. And I will raise him up when? At the last day. You see and believe. Resurrection power begins to take place in your life. You did get that? Somebody say, it means the last day. What last day? The last day is completely based on everything that Joel said in Joel chapter 2. The last day is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When the Holy Spirit came, that was the last day. We are now in the last day, right from about 2,000 years ago. There's nothing called last day in the future. Hallelujah. Come on, are you following what I'm talking about? We enter into the last day. When you enter into Christ, is the eternal day, is the final day, is the ultimate. Glory to God. I will raise him up. There's resurrection life that flows into your life when you see and believe. Eve saw and believed what the serpent said. So what's the next thing that happened? They died. If you can see the Son and believe it on him, what did he say we give to you? Everlasting Zoe, which is the life of God. Everlasting life, the word life there is the word Zoe, which is the life of God. I'll give you the life of God. If only you can see and believe in the Son. Hallelujah. Are we still here? Man, you got to check out what you believe. You got to check out how much of the Son are you seeing. You got to see the Son. What does that supposed to mean? You have to understand who Jesus really is. You must know who the Son of God is. You got to know. And then you have to experience, because you come to believe. And then there's a power that begins to work in your life for transformation, for upgrading, for the manifestation of his life. Hallelujah. Let me give you this final scripture. But is anybody following me? Don't give me to Mark. Maybe. Mark 8 verse 22. Mark 8 verse 22. And he came to Bethsaida, and he bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And the Bible says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. In other words, did you see anything? Let's get the answer to this. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, just go down. I'll come back here. Verse 25. After that, he pulled his hand upon his eyes and made him look up. And it's important you keep on looking up, everybody. Because if you don't look up, you won't see the rainbow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to look up to be able to see the rainbow. Anytime Jesus do this, say, look up. Don't look down. After he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man what clearly. He began to see colors. Became a natural man. So what am I trying to say? You must first see spiritually before you see naturally. When you see spiritually, the reality of the Christ, there will be manifestation of his power in your life. This man lived in two realms in split seconds. On one realm, he was in the spirit. Why did he see men as trees? Because that's the way God sees him. Hallelujah. Come on, are you following what I'm talking about? That's why we are called what? The trees of righteousness. Men are trees in the spirit dimension. So the understanding is what I'm saying. Your spiritual understanding must be what? Enlightened to know. Don't forget what we're saying. He that seeth the Son and believeth, praise the living God, I shall give him everlasting life. I want you to pick this and tell you, it's very important that you must see. Hallelujah. Do you know Adam and Eve, they went through this dimension. They saw a physical tree, the God impact, and they saw in the spirit dimension that they were naked. Hallelujah. Come on, are you following what I'm saying here? God ordained you that your eyes will be the eyes of God, your hands will be the hands of God. Friends, listen, when you walk in the street, God is walking. They did not say you are his temple. I will dwell in them, I will live in them, I will walk in them. I don't know if you understand that. 2 Corinthians 6. I will walk in them, I will live in them. So what does that supposed to mean? When God is walking, he wants to walk, you take him along. You're strolling in evening, God is strolling. You must know who you are. Jesus, I and my Father, we are what? We are one. We are not separated. Nothing can separate us. We are one. I am the Father. We are one. Anywhere you find me, you find the Father. My Father never leave me. Hallelujah. Is everybody left him because of sin? No, you have no understanding. Jesus, God never left him. Never. It's humanity that was saying that. If God left him, he won't rise from the grave. Hallelujah. Come on. Are you following what I'm talking about? His humanity was the one. And people will tell you, God cannot look at sin. No. Jesus never bore any sin. He bore your punishment, not your sin. Jesus was never a sinner. Jesus knew no sin. So what was hanging on the cross was a lamb. What was that? The punishment of your sins were laid upon him. He was not a sinner. That's wrong theology. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Let me finally round up. I thought I was going to close there. But let me take this. I like what Jesus said. Matthew 13. Let's take this verse number 10. I thought somebody was already tired. You should have let me know you're tired now. Are you tired? I already got these things. This is for you. I already got them. So whatever thing I'm doing here, it just will help you. Amen? I know these things. I already seen them. And my desire every day is to see him more and more and more and more. Because the more I see him, the more I'm lifted. The more I see him, the more I'm growing in the spirit. You just see the Son and believe it. I will raise him up. Resurrection life flows in your body, in everything you do. Why? Because you see the Son. Glory. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because it is given unto you to know. I'm getting ministration, two people. I don't know what that means, but you're going to be fruitful. Two people, fruitful. The word just coming for two, you're going to be fruitful. I don't know what dimension, I don't know what area, but you're going to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Okay. It said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever had, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Now, this is a mystery. That tells you, the more knowledge of God you have, the more knowledge that will keep on coming to you. To whom much is given, much is required. But here he's saying here, he that hath, more shall be given. You remember in the book of Daniel, he said wisdom, even Psalm 2, wisdom is given to the wise. So wisdom is not given to a fool, it's given to those who are wise. They are the wise people, but yet they have more wisdom. Hallelujah. Okay. So he said, but whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away even that he had. That's serious. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I want you to see that. Seeing, hearing, understanding. So what follows? And is then fulfilled the prophet of Isaiah, as we said, by hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have their closed lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and I should be converted, and I should do what? Heal them. So healing comes from seeing, hearing, understanding. Praise the living God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Everything about your life is packaged within these three realms. Seeing, hearing, understanding. You go back to the test we're dealing with. What happened? The serpent came. They heard, they saw, they understood the very first time the power of the tree. Did you get that? And so, when you also come to that dimension, that's why we cry within our spirit every day. There's a place we must come into that healing will naturally be flowing in our body. And this healing outside of your physical body, it deals with everything that's around you. By implication, your growth in life, your growth in your family, your growth in your business, anything you're thinking about right now has to do with the three factors. Seeing, what do you see in your business? What do you see in your home? What do you understand about what God wants you to do in your family? I will heal you. I will set you free. I bring deliverance to you. If only you can see, if only you can understand, if only you can hear what I have to say. And don't miss that. Especially the hearing and the seeing. When you see and hear, you will definitely understand. And something will begin to come towards you. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Man, your faith has to stand on the word of God. Your faith has to stand on the principles of God's word. And this is what delivers you. This is what heals you. This is what sets you free. Listen, even if I want to conduct healing now, until you see, you have that conviction that yes, I can be healed, you won't be healed. That's why this kind of people go to a crusade and they call for healing, whatever. Sometimes people don't be preaching. I watched a video recently. The pastor was just preaching and a woman just stood up from the chair. And I said, how? So I don't know, but I just feel I can walk. That's why I stood up. She saw something from the message the man was delivering. Is that okay? The man didn't call for healing. The pastor didn't call for healing. But she just walked out of the chair. And to her guide, the pastor said, what's going on here? He said, she just came out of the chair. So what happened? He said, I just felt I can walk as we were talking. She saw, she heard, she understood that just healing in Jesus. And then she got out of her wheelchair. You don't wait for hands to be laid on you to get miracles that you need. Come on. Are you following what I'm talking about? You must come to that place to know, yeah, I believe Jesus. I can see him. I can understand what this man is. He can heal me. Once you come to that dimension, things will begin to happen in your life. I mean, that's why he said he will do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. It doesn't have to do with only when you are praying. Sometimes, even in your home, you might be eating. Things are walking and moving in your body. Why? You understood who Jesus is. You know exactly what he can do. At any point in time, your faith is resting on him. You are focused. Hallelujah. The Bible says when you behold him, you'll be transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. You move from glory to glory as you behold him, as you look unto him. Hallelujah. Transformation takes place. What am I saying? Healing in every area of your life begins to get manifestation as soon as you can understand, you can see, and you can hear with your ears. That means this is not his ears. That's what I say. Let them who have ears do what? Hear. Everybody have this butterfly. He's not talking about this one. But there's a hearing that God is talking about. Ability to understand what he's saying. Is that okay? So in understanding, your healing is manifested. In seeing and perceiving and hearing the truth of God's word, your healing is made manifest. And this is where it's important that you don't look at people. You don't consider other people. No, you just stay on what God is saying, what the world is revealing. You stay on. You pray. Paul would pray and say, my prayer is that your eyes of understanding be what? Enlightened to know. That is the key thing. The more you know who you are, the more you know who he is, the more you know what he has in mind for you, the more manifestation of his presence that comes into your life. Praise the living God, somebody. Can we please stand up? Let me talk to the Father in a moment. Just stand up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.